Welcome to Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast series. Here we talk about all things franchising. What is it all about? Is it for you? How do you find the best one to own? And so much more. Now your host, Tim Parmeter.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the latest edition of Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach, and your Franchising 101 podcast host. We have a guest so amazing today. We're going to skip all of the little fluff at the beginning, and we're going to get to, we have the pleasure of welcoming back a guest. She is now officially the leader in the clubhouse for the most times appeared on the show. Two more and you actually get a jacket. So look forward to that. But we have the incomparable Leanne Caruso from Entrepreneur Magazine, entrepreneur.com, with us today. Leanne, how are you?
I'm so good. Thank you for having me again. I didn't know that I had already reached such high levels. It can only go down from here, I feel like.
Yes, right. I think this is like, tombstone worthy stuff, right? first podcast guest three times. So congratulations. And you've beat out some pretty important company for that as well. So So congratulations. Thanks for coming back. Last time you were here, you actually had a Franchising 101 podcast t-shirt on. I'm sure you've just worn it so much, it's probably gotten holy or something, and we're busting out an I Am an Entrepreneur shirt. So do you need a new Franchising 101 podcast shirt?
No. It's just in the laundry. I wore it yesterday and I had to wear a branded shirt for my own company.
I guess they do pay you probably a lot more than my paying you nothing. If we see one of your dogs in the background with the Franchising 101 t-shirt in its mouth, this will immediately
end. Over.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for coming. And I know we spoke a couple months ago about the Franchising 500 list, which is a big thing. We're going to talk about a different list today with the top emerging franchises. So I want to talk about that, but just, I'm going to kind of throw you off maybe a little bit, but anything just new and exciting, with you, with Entrepreneur, with everything from a franchise perspective that maybe we've missed over the last few months?
Oh, geez. Well, I hope you haven't missed it, but we're just doing so much right now in terms of updating, enhancing, evolving, kind of flipping the table upside down and really taking a look back behind the curtains and, trying to produce more content. We're working on more webinars, more videos. We're enhancing our newsletter, our email nurturing program, really for the goal of being better for the franchise industry as a whole. We want to produce more valuable content so that we have more educated prospects and candidates. And for those people who didn't even know that franchising might've been an option to them, we want to give them more content to teach them and educate them so that they know they can make an informed decision on what's next. So there's a lot to come. It's a pretty heavy lift. So I'm excited to see 2023 actually, but we're doing a lot. We're doing a lot of shows. We're out there. I think we talked about it on the last one, but we've got new social channels that are franchise dedicated only. We've got the great Entrepreneur social channels as well, but the Franchise 500 social channels were, franchising all day, every day. So it's pretty exciting to see what's happening. But
yeah, and you're definitely racking up frequent flyer miles if anybody follows the Franchising 500 social, Leanne is like Waldo, right? Where is she on any given occasion? Always looking like it's having fun. I think one of the things I love most about what you guys are doing, because it's really our focus too, is education, right? Most people don't know the first dang thing about franchising, right? And then how to go about finding it and all of those things. And really it's just like how attainable it is. So I love what you guys are doing. And thanks for coming on, because I do seriously know how busy you are. So thanks for that. So we did top 500 a couple months back. Today is something called top emerging franchises. So what Leanne, what's this mean?
what is right? No, so when we do our top 500 list, anybody who submits for the top 500, which is why we encourage any brand and every brand to submit for the top 500, that will actually come out in June, the survey to do that. It is free to submit. So we just ask that you do it. But even if you don't make the Franchise 500, there's still opportunity for you to make other lists that we produce throughout the year. So every month and every issue, we produce at least one list. And so this list that just came out in the April, May issue is the top new and emerging franchise list. So that is the top 150 brands who submitted for the Franchise 500. Some of them made the list, some of them didn't. They might not have met the qualifications for the top 500, or there's just such tough competition. But this gives these new and emerging brands really a chance to shine. So the ranking is, the word emerging is used a lot in franchising, and I don't think there's a definitive answer on what exactly that means. Everybody kind of constitutes it as something different. But for us, we count it as has been in business for any, you know, for the last 5 years. So they've been in business since 2017. That also means that they're in different stages of their franchise life cycle. They could have 3 or 4 locations. They could have 200 locations. So that piece of it doesn't, it matters, but 16% of the people who applied for our 2022 list were actually in business for 5 years or less. So we actually, that was one of the biggest categories. There is approximately about 300 brands a year who decide to franchise their business in general. So there's a lot of fun new concepts that came out this year. And it's really interesting to see if you go to our website and see who made the list this year. How we do it is unit growth is really only one of the 150 data points that we use. But some of the other areas that we use are costs and fees, how franchisees are trained and supported, the parent company's financial stability, and brand strength. So they're all weighted a little bit differently, but that's kind of how we determine their ranking within the list.
Gotcha. Which is like, to me, even when you said that again, and I've heard you say it a few times, 150 data points is like ridiculous, right? How many things there are. And I guarantee you a good chunk of those are things that people wouldn't even know are things to think about or to track or anything like that. And relative to any other, you know, kind of quote unquote list that's out there, there ain't nobody doing anywhere near that level of in-depth research on these, right? Which is incredible. And I want to go back to one other thing before we talk more about the emerging is, just because a franchise isn't on one of these lists doesn't mean it's a bad franchise or one you shouldn't own or shouldn't look at, right? Because there's, again, we've narrowed the Franchise 500. Well, we're pushing 4,000 brands, right? Back in school, we're grading on the curve. That's the A curve, right? Well, trust me, you can get C's and get degrees. I got one, right? Like that. It could still be really good, and still be a really good fit. So I always just want people to realize, just like, obviously these are the best of the best, but doesn't mean the ones that aren't on the list aren't good or aren't something to be looking at.
And that's a great point, not to cut you off, but we had over 1,100 brands submit for the Franchise 500 this year, which is more than we've ever had before. But I talked to, you know, at all these shows, we talked to all of these new and emerging brands, and that we want to encourage them. They don't think that they have an opportunity to be on any other list because they think it's too big for them, but that's not true. We really encourage everybody to at least have a listing on our website, because we get those people to our website who are opportunity seekers, and it doesn't cost you a penny to have a listing on our website or to submit for the Franchise 500. So, and the data that we can learn, that we can use that data to, you know, grow our lists and grow the information and share resources and education so that we can better understand the franchise buyer, you know, that's what all of this is for. So yeah, highly encouraged to submit if you haven't already. And you're right. It's not all inclusive of all the franchise brands that are out there.
No, very good. lovely. As I choke, talk about some of the trends and things you saw.
Yeah. So, I mean, there were a lot of new concepts out there, which is so fun to see what people are doing, how people are making businesses out of them and helping their communities. There's definitely a lot of home services. Of course, home services really skyrocketed during COVID. So, you know, number one is Conserva irrigation. Number two is Koala insulation. Interestingly enough, some new and interesting ones, 4 and 5 are Card My Yard and Sign Gypsies. So, you know, you see those birthday cards in your yard for kids who are, you know, turning 10 and surprise, here's this whole big display. So we actually have a couple of those on the, even in the top 10, a few CBD concepts, of course, a lot of real estate concepts, also interesting. We've got a few Stretch Labs, Kick House, Row House, I Heart Mac and Cheese. I thought that was a fun concept, several pet concepts. And I also thought fun was a few beer and craft brewery concepts, which we haven't seen a lot of. And there's even a alcohol infused ice cream concept called Buzzed Bull Creamery. So, and then some mobile trucks like Donut Envy is a mobile donut truck. I think they're doing some great stuff. So it's just fun to see what people are, you know, bringing to communities and expanding nationwide.
Yeah. It's like, sometimes people say, well, what all is out there? I'm like, pick something, name an industry. There's something, right? Alcohol infused. I mean, again, just the amount of things. And from a franchise owner perspective, you know, like the donut one sounds really good. Right. But you don't like have to eat donuts. You could not like donuts and own one of those things. You just need to see it from that business perspective, right? And probably for that one, you're better off if you don't eat the donuts, right? So, and I thought one thing that's really interesting on the list of emerging is you got to kind of, well, scroll down to 6 or 7, but there's a lot of things that are probably the majority of them are non-retail, right? The first time person thinking about franchising is going to hear and think, you know, what was number one on the franchise 500? Taco Bell. Well, awesome. We all know Taco Bell. We might think we'd like to buy one, but we don't have $2.5 million, right? And the mind kind of goes to those big things. But I think really the majority that's out there, and especially the newer ones, like they're nothing near like that, right? And so the cost to entry, how attainable this is, especially on these emergings, is really like, again, really attainable.
Right. Yeah. There's definitely stuff for everyone here. Combo Kitchen, Generator Superstore. That's another fun one you never would think would be a franchise concept. So there's some cool stuff. There was one that I was going to put, there's also to that point, I think, you know, people are taking concepts that are existing and then doing something just a little bit different with them. We did a feature on Gone for Good. And so it's a junk removal service, but they take it and then they consign it. And then whatever they don't consign, they donate to community organizations, which I think is taking that junk removal to a whole other level and kind of switching, you know, flipping a script on that and doing something just a little bit different. So
yeah, not just junk removal, but also making a difference a little bit in the community, right? So awesome. When you think of emerging and you're right, that definition within franchising like can vary a little bit, right? But maybe something that's really more like, you know, on the newer version of that, maybe there are, you know, 25, 50 locations around the country. Or you guys even have an article about what's it like being franchisee number one, right? What are some of the certainly advantages, but maybe on, you know, if there's advantages, there's disadvantages of being maybe one of those early adopters for any of these brands? What's that? What are some of those things you look at from that perspective?
Right. So I think there are two different kinds of people, right? So if you want to be an early adopter, you're more, you know, you're probably have more of that entrepreneur, you know, true entrepreneur mindset, and you're a little more ready to take risks. And the other people who aren't quite ready to be as risky and kind of need that safety net, those are probably the people who would be, you know, maybe 25 and beyond, or even hundreds, because they need to know that the company is stable. The first franchisees, though, have such good opportunity. You know, they have a chance to be closer to the leadership team. They also need to understand that, you know, mistakes could happen. It's probably going to be a little rough around the edges, but they can also impact decisions. They can be, you know, first to get the territories they want. They can be first to help impact ideas, be the visionaries, help be the visionaries of the company. So I think that, and they're likely influencers within the franchisee, and within the franchisee group. So I think it's two different kinds of people. For me, being the first in would be exciting, but I have that entrepreneurial spirit. I think it would be fun to help. Yeah. I think it would be fun to help grow, help grow a company. But, if somebody needs the safety net, then they might want to wait until later. And if you look at in the article, it's actually pretty cool. It has the first franchisees of some of the big major brands. And if you look at those, some of like the first KFC franchisee, I think he ended up with 300 locations and, yeah, you know, billions before he died. So, right.
They're definitely an easier to build an empire when the empire isn't already built, right?
Yes.
By hundreds of thousands of other franchise owners. And you hit on one of the things, I think, that being able to impact the brand. And sometimes people think, well, if they're newer, they don't have a track record, they may not have a track record from a franchise perspective, but that business has probably been up and running. There's one on there. I think it was the wings. I got to scroll back up. Epic Wings, I think,
yep.
Right? It was like the article talks about when they were, you know, family owned and yep, been around forever and ever and ever. Well, the concept is there. It's been proven.
Right.
And part of just like for people know, like if I've got Tim's Sandwich Shop and it's been around forever and I want it to become a franchise, there's a very lengthy and not inexpensive process for me to get it into a franchise where all the systems are in place. Everything is replicable, right? So you still have systems and support. You just will have a little bit more at times leeway on again, the execution or finding other ways to kind of create it, but really having that ability to first to market. And again, the growth potential is great, right? But you're not going to have 20 years of, you know, data of 1,000 owners and everything that they've done, right? If that, and right, it's not a right or wrong, but I think it's always for us and our clients, I always like them being able to really explore, here's well-established, been around hundreds of franchises. Here's newer. Cause sometimes you don't really know where your tolerance is until you get in and be able to see that. Right. So,
right.
Really cool.
They could be new to franchising, but they could have corporate locations. And actually, one of the points that we brought into the article was that sometimes the lack of the past data can actually work into your strengths, and because you don't have the metrics to confine your expectations. So, you know, when you're looking at a system that's big, then everybody's saying, well, I'm doing this. And then you're like, well, why aren't I doing that? But when, you know, you don't have limits if you don't have that confine of expectations. So I thought that was an interesting other way to look at it.
Yeah. And I think that those early adopters sometimes get, the ability to have bigger territories, the prime territories, if you're the first one really, really coming in, the ability to expand and have more of the market. I mean, there really are, again, that's not for everybody and that's okay. But, right, that empire building, that ability to kind of impact the brand is huge for that, from that standpoint. Yeah. So,
and oftentimes lower cost to entry.
Yes. There's really not much, as you know, in franchising. Not a lot of negotiation from a cost perspective getting in. Sometimes, especially if you're really one of the first ones, there might be a little bit more for that, or certainly to have those additional ones, right? So Cool. And you, I think you mentioned you had seen some trends here with this, with home service, but just things that are non-retail, home-based, maybe even, again, maybe even kind of that virtual component, starting to see a little bit more of that here the last year or so too, correct?
Yeah, definitely. Home-based, mobile. Actually, now that you say that, we do have a whole other list that's online. It's called Top Home-Based and Mobile Franchises. So you could look that up too, if that's something that you're interested in. But yeah, I mean, it's, there's all sorts of different great ideas, like the Card My Yards and the Sign Gypsies, you know, those would be mobile. Running Boards is another mobile one. It's a mobile advertising unit. So we definitely see a shift in mobile concepts.
Cool. And I think, one other thing, not to get off topic of franchising, since this is Franchising 101 podcast, but with entrepreneur, whether people go to entrepreneur.com, if they, you know, get this thing called a magazine, if you're under 40, Google it. You'll know what that is.
A new one.
See, you're too cool. I don't even have that one yet. At what point, which month this year am I on the cover? I don't remember exactly. I get it on my photo shoot.
That's under embargo, so we can't announce that just yet.
Yeah, my fault. I kind of overstepped in there a little bit. All of the things that you guys are doing on the franchise side is, I think, very cool and really needed as the thought leader that entrepreneur is. But you don't necessarily have to want to be a franchise owner or really want to be an owner in any shape to get some fantastic material out of the magazine on the website. And you and I were talking before we came on, literally as I was eating lunch, I got a little pop-up email, and like the one today was the 5-hour rule used by Bill Gates, Jack Ma, Elon Musk, which really is the most successful people on the planet are people most likely to devote an hour a day to reading and learning. I am a reader, not quite in Bill Gates category yet of successful entrepreneurs, just like we're so close, but it's something that I do, regularly. I've brainwashed my kid into being a reader, all of those things. And just so little things like that to kind of, whether it's encourage us, in any walk of life, whether it's we're just personally learning things like that, there's been something almost every day that I get I'm on the email drip campaign, right? So I get spam from you guys, right, on that stuff, and then again I literally get the magazine and those type of things. So and I'm just kind of saying this really from my experience. There is so much stinking good stuff on there. You don't have to want to be a franchise owner. You don't have to want to be a true entrepreneur. If you've taken the steps of probably listen to our podcast, you have some sense of success in your past and have some drive and determination for something more, whether it's franchise or not, I can't encourage you enough to go check it out. There's so much good stuff on there just in general. I know Jason came on last time and I always find it cool when I'm like, hey, I'm reading an article and it was something that he had done. I'm like, oh my gosh, he was on the podcast. Like he was on my podcast. Like that was super cool. I'm not really teeing you up for anything there. I just wanted to kind of really express, like, I love what you guys are doing just in general and really people check it out. So what's next in kind of the franchising space?
Well, we have a lot of cool stuff coming up in the franchising space. The June issue, which I just kind of showed, it's got Zoe Deschanel on the cover. That's going to have the top global franchises on it. And then the best of the best comes out in July and August. And that's basically our top 500, but it's the best in each category. So the top food out of all of the entries that we got, the top home services and so on. So those are kind of fun lists to look out for. We're also doing something exciting in the summer that we've never done before. We have a restaurant and food franchise publication only. So it's in our Startups magazine. So look out for that. That one's very cool. We got a feature on John Taffer, and he's the host of Bar Rescue, as you may or may not know. And he's a very cool guy and a friend of entrepreneur, but he also has a franchise called Taffer's Tavern. So we have a feature about him. We're actually doing a live event with him on Friday on Instagram. That would be probably after this is recorded.
No, this is officially, way to ruin the, you know, the aura that this is live or something.
No, excited.
This is April 28th. So this, your live event is April 29th.
Okay. April 29th. Yeah. So super excited about that. Sorry to put a dated thing in there, but yeah, that'll be fun. And then, if you want to see us, we'll be at the Franchise Consumer Experience Conference in Atlanta, put on by Franchise Update. We will also be at IFE, the big show in New York City. And we will be at the Franchise Expos in Houston and in Orlando coming up. So lots of travel, but we love seeing our franchise partners and our supplier friends and meeting people who want to become franchisees and you know, just listening and hearing their stories and seeing how we can be a resource to them and support all things franchising.
Nice. When is the expo in Orlando? Selfishly.
Yes. The expo in Orlando is, I should have this memorized, it is May 21st and 22nd.
Okay.
And that's put on by National Events Management. It's called the Franchise Show.
Okay. I was just trying to see if that was a weekend that I was going to be able to crash the party for that. And then you mentioned IFE. So, because I love when I think in any industry, we get in and we have like, you know, our own little secret language and codes and acronyms and all that.
Yeah, sorry.
What the heck's IFE?
What the heck is IFE? It's the International Franchise Expo. So that is the big expo in New York City. It's in the Javits Center. There are brands from all over the world who come, and there are people all over the world who come to look at franchise opportunities, both nationally within the United States and beyond. So it's a real awesome. Big show. It's a lot of fun, and you get to meet a lot of new brands.
Cool. And you get to go to New York City. So,
and you get to go to New York City, and that's put on by IFE Exposition. So you can just look up International Franchise Expo. It's in June.
I was going to say, and it's New York City in the summer, not like in January or something. Right. So,
right. It's June 2nd through the 4th.
Okay, cool. What have we missed for today that you want to kind of share with everybody on entrepreneur franchising, how your dogs are doing, what have we missed that you want to give you one last little chance to share with us today?
My dogs have remained mostly quiet throughout the podcast, which is odd, but they did squeak a little bit in there. You know, I don't think we missed anything. I think we've got a lot of big things coming up. Just constantly, you know, check out our social media, check out our website. We're producing new lists all the time. If you ever want to contribute to Entrepreneur, we do have a leadership network. So you could be a VIP contributor to our network, and you would just search on entrepreneur.com to see how you could be a writer for Entrepreneur. And we love new content, new franchising content, or, you know, business, professional leadership, professional growth, personal growth, all of that good stuff.
Nice. Love it. Franchise 500, where we can find that on social, obviously Entrepreneur. You just have to be able to spell Entrepreneur, but if you have a t-shirt on where it says it, makes it a little bit easier. So
this is why I wear this actually. So when I have to type my email address to people, it's a double check.
Yeah, no, I'm a size large. If you want to just send that over to Tarpon Springs, I'll be there in a couple of days. Cool. Well, Leanne, as always, thank you for joining us. Two more, and you do get a jacket. It's gonna be velvet, so velvet smoking jacket. So we'll be awesome. So we'll try to get that scheduled for you really soon. And then for all of our loyal podcast listeners, if we still have some after this show, thanks for tuning in as always. Really, you've made it this far. You know you're interested. Reach out to us on our social channels. FranCoach.net, Franchising101Podcast.net. Never any fee for our service to help you navigate this to find the perfect thing. Leanne, thank you so much. Everybody else, we hope to hear from you very soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tim. Bye.
Thanks for listening to FranCoach's Franchising 101 Podcast, where our ultimate goal is to help educate you on all things franchising so you can create your better tomorrow.